Great expectations. What are you expecting? At this time of year, we might be expecting a whole range of things. We may be expecting to attend lots of end-of-year functions. I'm sure you already have, some of you. Dinners and lunches and catching up with friends and family. Eating too much. And having time to sleep it off, though, hopefully. And an opportunity to move at a more probably leisurely pace in these warmer, sunny days. And it's obviously a time when the church recognises the birth of Jesus. But it's sometimes difficult to find this emphasis in everyday life when we see everyone rushing about, looking a bit stressed as they're trying to get all the preparations sorted. But I wonder if we take time to think about it, what was it like way back at the beginning of the Christmas story? What were the expectations then? And to do that, we'd really have to go back to March, 9 months earlier. And we can read in Luke that at that time God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. It would seem that Mary was troubled, wondering, why would God come to her? She was probably saying to herself, "Boy, I'm not that special. I don't stand out in any way. Yet God is calling me highly favoured." But you know, it's not what's on the outside that matters to God, is it? Not even our age, because she's probably only 15, or gender. But it's what God can see in our hearts. That's what really matters. And it would seem that when God looked into Mary's heart, he saw humility and a heart that was postured toward him. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." At that time in history, Israel had experienced already 400 years of silence from God. No one was hearing God in any shape or form, no angels, no prophets, nothing. God kept quiet until now. So these words to Mary would have been beyond imagination, totally unexpected, overwhelming, a lot to take in. She would have to have been in shock. Suddenly God was speaking, and to her, of all people. So Mary says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "Since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be barren, is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible for God," the angel said. At this point, Mary agrees to partner with God's purposes, even though she doesn't really understand all that will happen. And Mary responds, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Wow. When I look at this, I think Mary is a pretty amazing person. Mary didn't understand everything that was happening, and she wasn't afraid to inquire either. And still not really being able to comprehend, she accepted the mystery of God's ways, of not always knowing every bit to the plan. and she said yes. She partnered with God and walked in obedience and faith. I wonder what Mary was really expecting. Mary is one of the most admired biblical figures. Her willingness to be a vessel for God's Messiah is really inspirational, especially when you consider the confusion that she would have been experiencing that was associated with being young, an unmarried woman, and showing up pregnant. Not great. For us, too often, we can mistake religious feelings with our devotion, our love for God. Those feelings might make us think, yeah, we're really dedicated to God's purposes. But real devotion is about obedience. It's about being faithful to God. And despite being greatly troubled at the words of this angel, Mary's response shows great faithfulness. She's not afraid to voice her questions, but in the end, she chooses obedience. What a great lesson for us. So like Mary, we don't need to have all the answers to say, I am the Lord's servant. In fact, faith is all about stepping out in obedience, even when we don't understand or have the answers that we want. So at the time of the birth, Mary was visited by shepherds who had also been visited by an angel. So I'm just going to keep reading a bit from Luke 2. And the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. Wow, God's favour rests on us. And wow, now this baby is being called Christ the Lord, the anointed one set apart for God's purposes and is Lord and our Saviour. Everyone was amazed at what the shepherds were saying. But scripture says in Luke, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I wonder what Mary was picturing in her mind about what this baby would become. Would he save Israel from the oppression of Roman rule? Such a big reality in their life. Would this baby be a mighty soldier or a politician? As the story unfolds, after 8 days, Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. And there Simeon was in the temple. And he said more great things about Jesus. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, the child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. He was speaking that to Mary. This prophecy revealed that Jesus' ministry would turn Jerusalem and eventually the world on its head. But his last comment hit close to home. For Jesus to fulfill his destiny, Mary would have to suffer. Mary may have understood the role Jesus was meant to play, but she didn't understand the script or how this would really unfold. She probably heard the angel's words about all that Jesus would be and would accomplish and presumed she knew what that looked like. She probably didn't understand that Jerusalem's religious elite would turn against Jesus. She couldn't have guessed that what awaited him was a cross and a borrowed grave. Wow, to her credit, Mary was there for her child's crucifixion. But as Simeon told her, her soul was pierced through. Sometimes walking with Jesus means walking down some scary paths. And it almost always requires some form of sacrifice, even when that sacrifice is simply giving up the expectations you've been carrying. What are your expectations of Jesus this Christmas? Are you numb and switched off by the mundane routine and or feeling stressed and overwhelmed by what this time of year can bring? Do you have faith and the expectation that Jesus will come through for you? And later on we can read in Jesus' life, before he really kicked off his ministry, that Mary, again with Jesus and some of his disciples, went to a wedding in a town called Cana. And the wedding ran out of wine early. Wow, a massive no-no for such a big event. And Mary turned to Jesus. And we know Jesus, he turned the water into the best wine ever, it says. And for Mary in this story, there is not one moment when her faith that Jesus is going to save the day falters. For Mary in this story, there is not one moment when her faith falters. May ours be the same. This wine situation is important to the bride and groom, and it means a lot to Mary that they not be humiliated. And so she trusts that it's important to Jesus too. We should demonstrate the same trust that what's important to us is important to Jesus and have the faith to ask him to intervene. May we also have the same simple obedience and faith that Mary demonstrated as she willingly embraced the mystery of God's good purposes and ways. And may we have great expectations of God this Christmas and always. Mary demonstrates the power of pure faith. And when you look at her accomplishments, it might not seem like she did very much. But her obedience changed the course of history. Sometimes the most profound thing we can do with our lives is to wholeheartedly say, I am the Lord's servant. And as one very famous missionary said, let's expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the many ways you have demonstrated to us your faithfulness and your love for us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for the example that Mary has given us, that we don't always need to have all the answers to walk that road of obedience. And Lord, we acknowledge that sometimes it seems scary to us. But Lord, today in our hearts, we know your love for us is real and great. And so, Lord, we want to say again afresh that we are your servants. And Lord, this Christmas time and into the future, all the days of our life, Lord, we're going to expect great things, Lord. We're going to dream big with you, Lord, and allow the dreams that you plant in our hearts to germinate and grow. Because, Lord, you want more than us, for your name to be known, for people to come to you and experience life and freedom. So at this time, at Christmas, Lord, may we expect great things from you, Lord, and may we also attempt great things for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song, Silent Night, and you've all been given a little light. So we're going to need to have to turn that on, and we're going to sway it over our heads as we stand up, and we're going to have all the lights out. But I want to read you first a verse before we do, before we turn the lights out, from John 1:1, because he also writes about the coming of Jesus, and he wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He's referring to the Son. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So as we shine our lights, as we sing Silent Night today, let's remember that Jesus has broken through. He's overcome the darkness. And Jesus now resides in us, doesn't he? And so we also become that light. Let's think about that as we stand and sing.
This is so hard for me, you know, accepting, being nice and forgiving and all that. It's just too hard, all right? Josh, you don't have to put that up. Okay, yeah. I'm not going to, because I actually prepared some slide, but just put up the William Carey thing. I just want us to take communion, all right? I don't want you to rush. I want you to exchange what I call divine exchange. Your humanity with the divine calling in your life. Many are called, few are chosen, but we are called and chosen to bear Christ in us, in the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us are God's workmanship. All of us are God's workmanship. All of us have good works that he prepared for us to walk in, to give birth to. All right? So I know some of you are quick mover, but I probably take 9 months. I think Marie Daniel took 9 months to come out, isn't it? Okay. We don't want to, you know what I mean? There is a process. No rushing. All right? So whatever your process is, come back to that faithful point and say, "Lord, I'm your servant. Let your word that is spoken to me, spoken through the scriptures, spoken through the memories, spoken through prophecy, let it be unto me. Stir it up now." So when you take the communion, it's like, okay, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Holy Spirit. The promise of Jesus was not about Mary's ability. It was God's ability. God says so, therefore it's good enough. So I'm going to take time, just open up first. Whatever your Christian tradition is, may I suggest or recommend highly, go with Christ's recommendation. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Supernaturally take it and be the Christ carrier. So each of us have dreams, divine dreams, and vision God put in your heart. Go through that faithful process and give birth to it. All right? So, Father, we say it's all about Jesus. When he says it's finished, we just go through that process. Whatever Christ wants to do with us from December 2021 and beyond, we say, let it be so. Let your word that is spoken, let your word that you call us to, whatever you call us to, Lord, we say, Lord, we are your servant. Let it be so. Nothing is impossible with God. No remark word that God spoke do not carry the purpose and the power to fulfill what he has set out. All we need to do is to be a faithful vessel to carry Christ and the vision Christ that he wants to give her to us. So let's take the body in faith. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body, that you make us whole. Thank you, Jesus. In your broken body, we're going to have divine healing and divine help. Because by your stripe, we are healed. By your stripe, we are healed. By your stripes, we are healed. We are made whole. Thank you, Jesus. We know the Old Testament teaches us without the shedding blood, there's no forgiveness because the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. So when we partake of Jesus' blood, there's life, divine life, and divine life will produce divine things. That's why it's not up to us. It's all about Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is within us. So I want you to bring to memories again that God, what God has spoken to you and say, Lord, with my little faith, whatever faith I have, let it be so, Lord. Let your word, may it be to me as you have said, Lord. We are your faithful servant. So we take this blood and thank you, Jesus, for your life of the Holy Spirit within us. I know in a crowd like this, sometimes if I feel prompted in the spirit to pick people out, don't feel excluded, but cheer it on because that's part of being the body of Christ. All right. So William Carey obviously went to India. St. Francis Xavier was one of the first guys who went in the 15th century, and the modern missionary was William Carey. It looks awkward. I know politically correct it's not what I'm going to try to do. I want to ask all the Indians to stand up. I'm not Indian, so you have to stand up, Elvin. Jerry, I think you're Indian. Not many. That's good. So guess what? You're going to multiply. All right. I just feel... All right, this word is for all of us, all right? I just want all of us to join our faith to have pray for breakthrough for our Indian brothers and sisters, all right? Will you join with me? Yep, a few of you are already getting up. Good on you. Go for it. Lay hands on our Indian brothers and sisters. Don't miss out on John. He's the smart one. So, Father, we thank you for St. Francis Xavier. We thank you for William Carey and many, many other missionaries, Lord. Now we have our Indian brothers and sisters coming to this land. We thank you, Lord. They're going to carry a breakthrough anointing. As William Carey have tarried, even St. Francis Xavier, going where nobody dared to go and willing to adapt and then have a breakthrough. I just pray for Jerry, I pray for Julie, Judy, Jessica, Joshua, Elwin, and John. In the name of Jesus, that you will hear the clear Rhema word of God in you, that you will carry that breakthrough, and that confident that you're here because the Lord has sent you here. And you're here to carry that anointing of breakthrough, that missionary heart, so that you will find your place in Adelaide, in Australia, but to be a fruitful disciple of Christ in this country. I pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. All right, worship team, let's finish with a couple of songs. Thank you. We're going to have a bit more prayer time. Yeah, keep praying if you have to. It's no problem. Judy, Judy. You're going to have a very special year next year, all right? I want you to go with the expectation that things are changing already, okay? Change take process, and it's just allow that process to happen, all right? You're going to have fun. You're going to enjoy yourself. Thank you, Lord.
I invite you all to stand.